I want to just say how good it is to have you with us today. And some of you might have travelled a long way to be here. I guess most of you are probably fairly local, like I am. But sometimes some people come away. I wonder, has anybody come more than, say, 50 miles to be here today? I see one hand at the back there. Well done, sir. Very good. Come from Canada? That's amazing. From France? That's amazing. Well done. Well done if you've made a journey. And, of course, in the Christmas story, people did make some journeys, didn't they? And I want to tell you about a journey that I made once to go to a church service. It was a church service in a very remote village, right in the northeast of India. And I certainly packed my case for that one. It was in a little village called Bramagray. And my journey there started with a bus journey, which was 14 hours long. And it was on a bus that looked a bit like that. And the bus went all the way through the night for 14 hours. And I was woken up. Mostly I just dozed. But I was woken up at two key moments. The first moment I was woken up was when the drive shaft of this bus broke and started banging on the bottom of the bus. And we were all told to get off the bus. And it was just the inky blackness. And I was in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And I thought, this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. And it took about an hour, but the driver actually managed to fix the drive shaft back together and we were on our way. The second time in that journey that I was woken up was when armed guards got onto the bus, soldiers, and they said that there had been reports of terrorist incidents further up the road and they felt we should have an armed escort for this part of the journey. And of course, I was delighted to hear that. I was wide awake at that point. I can tell you. So that was the bus journey. And then after the bus journey, there was 6 hours in a four-wheel drive Jeep. And then eventually the road just ran out altogether. And the last hour of my journey, I had to actually walk on foot. And then eventually we came to this village of Bramagray. And what I found there was the most lovely people that you could ever hope to meet. And according to local chiefs, I was the first Western face to ever go to that village. But what I found was lovely people who were Christians, who loved Jesus. And we all had a church service there together in that place on that afternoon. Now, I thought my journey to get there had been pretty tough. I found out that some people there had actually walked for 11 hours to get there that day. And that put my journey into perspective. In the Christmas story that we read about in the Bible, we see that many people had to pack a case and make a journey, sometimes over great distance. And the reason they did that is that they were looking forward to meeting Jesus. And they were seeking him out. They were looking for him. In a sense, that's what I was doing when I traveled to this village. I was seeking out Jesus, really. And that those people who would walk for 11 hours through the jungle, it's because they were seeking out Jesus. My question today is it sensible to do that? Is it sensible to seek out Jesus? In fact, to put that question another way, can a case be made for Christmas? So what I want to do is look inside my case, see if a case can be made for Christmas. Let's just see what we've got in here. Okay, here's the first thing. What's this? Telescope. And what do you use a telescope for? Looking at the stars. Superb. This is, you're all looking very attractive this morning. bit scary up close. The first people I want to tell you about who made a journey was the Magi, or some people call them the wise men. And some people call them kings. We three kings of Orient are, you know all that? It's them. And actually, the Bible doesn't say how many kings there were. There could have been many more than three. The Bible doesn't say. The New Testament had not been written yet. And yet, we're told that these wise men had read about the coming Messiah. And they'd read about a new king. In Matthew's gospel, we read how these wise men traveled from the east. They would have been some kind of astrologers or wise men or thinkers of their time. And they probably knew of books that had been written hundreds of years earlier. And they knew about writings of someone who was going to come, who was going to be born of a virgin. And it's safe to assume that what they had actually was this ancient document that we now call the Bible. And it says this in the Old Testament, a bit that was written by a guy called Isaiah. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And what these wise men did was they essentially began a scientific process, a scientific investigation. Now, I don't think they knew if it was true or not, but they decided to check it out. They took a scientific, historical, logical approach to finding out if it was true. That included looking at the stars in the sky, which God seemed to have a handle on. Now, people still do that today, don't they? Did you hear in the news, even this week, they've discovered this solar system deep out in space they've just found another planet, haven't they, in that solar system, and that's significant. What I found interesting was that solar system, Kepler 90 or whatever it's called, that it's 2,000 light years away and a bit. And what that means is that the light left that star just a few years before the Magi set out to look for Jesus, and that light has just arrived at us. I just found that interesting. And we look at the stars still, don't we, and try and figure it out. That's what they did. And what else did they do? They, quite rightly, then, they read the signs. They saw that a new king must have been born. So they went to see Herod, King Herod. And they asked him, "Where is this king that's going to be born?" And Herod said, "Well, let me ask my wise men, my academics and my lecturers and my priests, and ask them about this." And they knew the Old Testament too. And they knew that it said this, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So Herod told the wise men that the king was going to be born in Bethlehem. And he asked them to report back to him. And so the wise men made the last part of their journey and they found Jesus. And instantly they recognized him as the king that they had been looking for. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. So the wise men had started with Old Testament prophecy. They had no religious conviction. They had no personal heritage or law that said they had to worship Jesus. What they did is they explored it. They checked it out. They did some research. They followed a scientific process and it led them ultimately to Jesus. In fact, to worshipping him. Now, I used to do maths as an engineer. I don't do a lot of that anymore. But I used to do maths and I love to kind of think of things in equations. And I see an equation at work here. The equation is something like this. It says that this was the wise men. They took scripture plus a scientific approach. They subtracted any sort of prejudice or religious kind of ideas. And what they ended up with, what that equaled, was a relationship with Jesus. I think that same equation holds true today. true for you as well. Start with the Bible. It's an ancient document, yet strangely persisting and relevant to life today. It tells you about who God is. It tells you about your part in his plan. So start with the Bible, add in a scientific approach. Now, you've got to put the effort in here, guys. You've got to put the work in to try and work it out. It's a journey. But take a logical approach. You might, for example, look at what was predicted about Jesus before he was born. You might, for example, look at what Jesus claimed during his life and then see if that holds water. You might look at the effect that Jesus had on the people around him. You might even look at the claim that Jesus rose again from the dead and he's alive today. But check it out. Put a scientific process in place and then subtract from that any religious framework that tells you that you must think this and you must do that. Subtract that. What you are left with in this equation is the most wonderful potential for an encounter with Jesus. When, like the Magi, you meet him and you freely offer him your worship. If I was going to sum up the Christmas message in one word, I might use a word like this: rational. You can think about it. It's logical. Anyway, let's see what else I've got in my case, shall we? Ah, what have we got here? It's a picture. You see my picture? Yeah, look at that. Oh, it's nice, isn't it? Of course, the Christmas story wouldn't be the Christmas story without Mary and Joseph traveling from their hometown and their hometown was Nazareth, and they traveled all the way down to Bethlehem. That was about 100 miles as a journey. We sing, don't we? Little donkey, little donkey. The Bible doesn't say anything about a donkey. I'm sorry. I tell you, the tradition that Mary rode on a donkey dates back to the 2nd century. So it's pretty old. It's just not in the Bible. But they got there anyway. They got to Bethlehem somehow. We make a mistake if we think that the nativity story is some kind of fluffy, nice, romantic fairy story. Some fairy tale scene. That journey, it would have been a nightmare, actually. I mean, worse than traveling around the M25 on Friday, I would imagine. I mean, it would have been a tough journey to make. And Mary was heavily pregnant. Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married when they found out that Mary was pregnant. And that's quite tricky to handle these days, isn't it? In that culture, in those days, it was a major faux pas. And it was only an angel that stopped Joseph from divorcing Mary and having nothing more to do with her. And then, right when she was heavily pregnant, they found out that the Emperor Caesar Augustus had issued this decree, this command, that everyone had to be registered in their place of birth. It's a bit like me going to the registry office in Basingstoke, where I was born, and checking in. I mean, Basingstoke, Bethlehem. I mean, I think the similarity ends there. So they had this journey to make, which for Mary must have been really tough. And then to make matters worse, as we saw, there was no room for them, and everybody else had got there before them, or maybe their reputation had got there ahead of them, and that people knew that this baby had been conceived before Mary and Joseph were married. Either way, they ended up in the worst place in the world to have a baby, in a stable, surrounded by animals and wee and poo. And then there was this whole giving birth thing. Now, I've been there twice. You understand what I mean by that. Not completely. I was next to my wife, who has been there twice. It's an incredible experience. I mean, they say Mary gave birth next to an ass, and maybe sometimes my wife would relate to that. But I think that if Mary and Joseph's experience had been my experience, then I would just have been glad to get through it. glad to get to the other side, glad it was all over. Actually, it says this about Mary. It says that she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She knew that this baby had been conceived by God. She went on to call him Lord. Being around Jesus always is a transforming experience. Everybody in the Christmas story didn't just find out about Jesus. Rather, their lives were transformed. And even today, right here today, there is more to a relationship with Jesus than simply knowing about him. You can encounter him. You can experience a relationship with him. There's more to Christianity than a mental ascent or an academic kind of interest in a theory or a statement of faith. Christianity is a dynamic relationship with the living God. And he's a God of power, and his power lives in you. And it was for that relationship with you that Jesus was born. And then later went to the cross and died in payment for your sin. Anything that might come between you and your Father God was dealt with in that moment. Don't forget that Jesus is not an information giver. He is a life changer. Okay, one more thing. Let me give you the word. I think the Christmas story is powerful. There's one more thing in here. What have we got? Yeah, this guy's cute. This is my favorite one. A sheep. See, one group of people who traveled to see Jesus were, of course, the shepherds. They were very different to the wise men. They weren't highly educated. They weren't wealthy. They didn't study the stars. They didn't talk to royalty. They were minding their own business. They were watching over the sheep when an angel appeared and said this. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So the message that the angel had for the shepherds was twofold. First, that this birth of this baby was good news. And secondly, this was good news not just for them, but for all people everywhere. And so they went to find this Jesus. And I wonder what they thought as they turned up. And they could have felt a bit kind of out of place, couldn't they? I mean, for a start, the wise men had brought gifts. It's a bit like turning up at a party, isn't it, without a bottle. You just feel a little bit awkward. The Bible doesn't say anything about them giving a gift of a lamb. And the sheep probably didn't even belong to them. But at the end of the story, whatever happened beforehand, the end is the same. These shepherds, like the kings, bowed down and they worshipped Jesus. Actually, these shepherds were pretty wise men as well. At that very first Christmas, coming to celebrate this baby Jesus, were rich people and poor people. There was highly educated and not so well educated. Everyone was welcome. Jesus is good news for all people. Now, this Christmas, you might be traveling to see family and friends. Family and friends might be traveling to see you. Maybe you've got people coming to stay. It's good to be reminded that Jesus is the one who welcomes everyone in. Whatever your story, that includes you this afternoon. If I was to put a word on the Christmas story, it would be this: inclusive. You can get to know him too. You can get to know him better. He wants to know you. He wants to be a part of your life. Well, you're always welcome to come and be part of Grace Church. We meet here every Sunday at 10 a.m. And we have lively worship. We have some teaching from the Bible. We have excellent groups for our children and young people. Yeah, we have a chance for us all to just connect and just to make friends and hang out together. So that's every Sunday. There's one particular Sunday I'd like to tell you about, and that's on the 4th of February. So I gave you one of these as you came in. We're going to have a special morning where a range of people just from within the church here, we simply share how Jesus has made a difference in our lives over this year. Because it's good to hear stories, isn't it? It's It's good to hear people's first-hand account of the difference that Jesus has made. So that's called Life Changer, and that's on the 4th of February. I would really encourage you to come along and just be part of that. On that first Christmas, lots of people packed their case and made a journey because they wanted to see Jesus. I just wonder if there's a particular journey that God wants you to make today. Wants you to make this Christmas time. Maybe it's to check out all this Christianity stuff like the Magi did. Maybe the journey that God wants you to make is to renew your relationship with the King, with the living God, as you allow Jesus into your life. If someone would walk for 11 hours across the jungle to worship Jesus, then isn't there a case to be made that maybe we should worship him too? I'm just going to pray, and then we will get back into singing some carols. Why don't you pray with me? Dear God, I want to thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world. I want to thank you that he gave up all the riches of heaven to be born as a baby, to live through this life, to save us by dying on the cross. And I want to thank you that in his death, he has paid for the things that we do wrong. And I just agree, this is good news. It's good news for us, regardless of the situations that we face in life. And my prayer, I pray that all across this room now, you would bring hope to people's lives. You would break into people's experience, that they would know your presence with them this Christmas time. And know you personally. Be with us all, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.